This sermon was created with an artificial voice for the audiobook initiative on Sermon Audio. There may be mispronunciations or occasional repetitions. To report a mistake, please email us at info@sermonaudio.com and include the sermon ID or title of the message and the time at which the error occurs. We will do our best to get it corrected for future listeners. Of Antichrist and His Ruin, Part 7. Part 7. By John Bunyan. Of the causes of the ruin of Antichrist. Although the causes of the ruin of Antichrist be to some conspicuous enough, yet to some they may be otherwise. Yea, and will to all kings and people, whose eyes shall be held, that they may not see the judgment in the reasonableness and equitableness thereof. And these shall wail when they see the smoke of her torment, and these shall cry, Alas! Alas! Wherefore, for further edification, as I have treated of the man of sin already, so will I now of the causes of his downfall. And first cause, first, he must down, for that he hath usurped and taken the name and attributes of God upon himself. He hath said, I am God. He hath set in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Yea, and that in contempt and scorn of any other, exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Yea, hath cried down all gods but himself. Wherefore it must needs be that he be brought to judgment, that the truth of his saying may be proved. And for this cause he is threatened, under the name of the Prince of Tyrus, because thine heart is lifted up, saith the Lord, and thou hast said, I am a God. Therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. If God will not give his name or glory to another, be sure he will not be under another. But this to have, and thus to do, Antichrist has attempted. But how? In that he has been so bold as to prescribe and impose a worship besides, and without reverence of that which God has prescribed and imposed, for to do this is to make oneself a god. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For he that thus doth is an idolater. And he that these things doth impose is one that shews himself a god. But this doth Antichrist do. And 'tis worth the noting that God forbids not only images, but the likeness of anything. Books, altars, fancies, imaginations, or anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath, to bow down to, or to make them a means to worship or come to God by, if he has not commanded nor tolerated them in his holy word. Thus saith the Lord, and I am the Lord is the stamp, the seal and sign of all true rules of worship. And therefore it is so often repeated both in Moses and in the prophets, where God commandeth worship to be performed, and imposeth the means and methods of it. Now this, thus saith the Lord, Antichrist has rejected, and I and the Lord he hath assumed to himself. And therefore, without the law, the word and commandment, hath framed and imposed a worship, exalting himself in the temple of God, although he is but the man of sin above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. Nor is he in this, his so foul a fact, without them that adore, worship his image, and wonder after him. Yea, he hath got by this means almost the whole world to himself. Who say, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? and that they might show their resolvedness to stand by him, they receive his mark in their forehead or in their hand. His mark, that is, they either openly or seriously become his disciples, and worship him according to the rules, methods, and ways that he hath prescribed. Wherefore, these with him are also to drink of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. But I say, for that Antichrist hath thus taken the place of God, prescribed and imposed a worship as a god, got the world to worship and wonder after him as after a god, therefore shall he die the death of the uncircumcised, both in the soul, spirit, body, or flesh of Antichrist. Therefore will God enlighten and gather, and set the kings and nations against him, that both he and his may be buried, and have their dulcome withdrawing, rooms from the world in the sides of the pit's mouth. Second cause. Secondly, Antichrist must be destroyed, because he hath set himself against the Son of God, against the Father, and against the Son. He had a spite against the Son betimes, even then when he came forth but in little bits, when he attempted to deny that he was come in the flesh. But seeing he could make no earnings of that, he hath changed his methods, and seeks to run him out and down by other means and ways. Because therefore he hath set himself against the Son of God. The king therefore he must die, that he hath set himself against the Son of God, is also evident. For he hath his name from thence. He is therefore called Antichrist. That he hath set himself against him is yet further evident. For that he hath endeavored to take from him his headship over, and his offices for and in the church, which is his body. He hath plainly endeavored to be head, for that he hath striven to take his wife from him, and to cause that she should be called his, yea, he hath endeavored by all inventions to prostrate her to his lusts, to deflower her, and to make her an adulteress. He has been worse than Pharaoh, who took Abraham's wife, and worse than Abimelech, who lusted after Isaac's, yea, worse than Faulty, who run away with David's. Forasmuch as she is higher, beloved better, and cost more than did any of these. Would it not be counted an high affront for a base inferior fellow to call himself the head of the queen? Yet thus has Antichrist done, and worse, he has called himself the head of the universal church of God. And as he has attempted to be head in his stead, so to be king, priest, and prophet. 1. He has attempted to wrest his scepter and kingdom from him, in that he hath endeavored to thrust himself into his throne, which is the heart and conscience of his people. The heart and conscience is that which Christ claimeth for his own proper and peculiar seat. My son, give me thy heart, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In this therefore the church is not to be for another man, so will he be for her. But this throne Antichrist has lusted for, attempted to take, and made war with Christ and his church, because they would not yield up to him this glorious throne of his, and therefore he must die. 2. He hath intruded upon the priestly office of Christ, hath called himself high priest. Though the Lord hath said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. But he will make himself a priest. He hath invented sacrifices for the quick and the dead. He hath put, as he presumes, merit and worth into these sacrifices. He hath commanded that those that worship should have faith in and expect benefit by these sacrifices, although he offereth to his God not else but the flesh of the hog and of the mouse, with the broth of his abominable things, Many and sundry ways he hath set himself up to be high priest, though God knows no high priest but one, though the church ought to know no high priest but one. Yea, though no high priest but one can approach God's mercy seat to do for us the necessary and desired work. 3. He hath intruded upon the prophetical office of Jesus Christ. What else means his pretenses to infallibility? And that too when he imposes unwritten verities, abominable traditions, blasphemous rites and ceremonies, and forbids or dispenseth with the holy commands of God, yea, when he enforceth these his Omrian statutes, and doth impose the works of the house of Ahab, he doth all in the name of the Lord Christ, when himself hath set himself in his place and in his room. This is mystery Babylon, the mystery of iniquity. This is Antichrist's soul and body, and as such must be destroyed. But third cause, thirdly, Antichrist must be destroyed, because he hath blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, and so set himself above the Father, the Son, the Spirit, against all that is called God. The Holy Ghost is that Spirit of truth that Christ has promised to give unto his church, to help her in the understanding of his holy word, and to enable her to believe and walk humbly and holily before God and man. The spirit of Antichrist is that spirit of error that hath puffed up the false church into a conceit of herself and unscriptural worship, and that hath made this false church, which is his body, to ascribe all the horrible things and acts thereof to the wisdom, guidance, directions, or operations of the Holy Ghost, as one. In all her unscriptural councils, assemblies, and convocations, they blasphemously father what they do upon the Holy Ghost, and make him the inventor and approver thereof. 2. She also blasphemeth the Holy Ghost in accusing and condemning the Holy Scriptures of insufficiency, for that she saith, though it is a rule, yet but an imperfect one. One deficient, one that is not able to make the man of God perfect in all things, without the traditions, inventions, and blasphemous helps of anti-Christian wisdom. 3. She hath also blasphemed the Holy Ghost, in that she hath set up her own church government, officers, and discipline, none of all which is the Church of Christ directed to by the wisdom of the Spirit of God in his testament. 4. She hath also sinned against the Holy Ghost, in that she hath, as it were, turned the Holy Ghost out of doors, in concluding that he, without the works of the flesh, is not sufficient to govern the hearts of worshippers in the service and worship of God. 5. She hath also thus sinned, in that she hath wrought many lying miracles in the face of the world, and imposed them upon her disciples for the confirming of her errors and blasphemous opinions, to the confronting of the true miracles wrought by the Holy Ghost, and also to the concluding that there was an insufficiency in those that were true, to confirm the truth, without the addition of hers, which she has wrought by the power of Satan and the spirit of delusion, only to confirm her lies. 6. She hath sinned against the Holy Ghost, in that she hath with Jeroboam the son of Nebat striven against the judgments wherewith God hath punished her, to call her back from her wicked way, and persisted therein, to the effectual proving of herself to be the lewd woman. 7. She hath sinned, by laboring to hide all her wickedness, by lies, dissimulations, and filthy equivocations of her priests, friars, Jesuits, etc. I say, her laboring to hide the wickedness that she hath committed against kings, countries, nations, kingdoms, and people. She hath hid these things by the means or persons made mention of before, as by the tail. For they indeed are the tail of the beast, that cover his most filthy parts. The prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail. But fourth cause. Fourthly, Antichrist must be destroyed, for the horrid outrage and villainous murders that she hath committed upon the bodies of the saints. For there is none as to these things, for cruelty, to be compared with the church of Antichrist and her followers. For upon whom hath not her cruelty been shewed? Have they never so little stood in her way, though never so innocently and honestly by so doing, stood to the truth and verity of God? Yea, the promoting of her own superstition, idolatry, and blasphemous rites and ceremonies have been so pursued by her that she has waded through a sea of innocent blood for the accomplishment thereof. The poor church of God is a sensible bleeding witness of this, and so has been for hundreds of years together. Witness the chronicles of all nations where she hath had to do, yea, and the sackcloth and ashes and tears and widows and fatherless children, and their cries, of all which the holy word of God is a sufficient confirmation, and in her, when God shall come to make inquisition for blood, will be found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. And yet has she such a whore's forehead, such a blindness in her judgment, and such an hard and obdurate heart, that it is not possible she should ever repent. Murders have been so natural to her, and in them her hand has been so exercised, that it is now become a custom, a trade, a pastime to her, to be either in the act or laying some foundation for murders. Witness those plots, designs, conspiracies, and frequent attempts that are, one or other of them, continually on foot in the world for the commission of murders. Nay, the text last mentioned seems to import that blood is so natural to her that she sticketh not at any condition, sex, age, or degree, so she may imbrue her hands in blood. In her was found the blood of saints and prophets, and of all other carnal, natural, ignorant, graceless men that have been slain upon the earth. It is she that sets kings and kingdoms at variance. It is she that sets parents and children at variance by her abuse of the word of our Lord and Christ. And besides, is it not easy, if we do but consider those bloody massacres that have been committed by her hand, both in France, Ireland, Piedmont, and in several places besides, without wronging of her, to conclude that the blood of thousands that have not known their right hand from their left in religion hath been shed to quench, if it might have been, her insatiate thirst after blood? Therefore, for these things shall she be judged, as women that shed blood are judged, because she is an adulteress, and blood is in her hands. She hath been as a beast of prey, nay, worse, for they do but kill and tear for the hunger of themselves and of their whelps, but she, to satisfy her wanton and beastly lusts. They have cast lots for my people, saith God, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink, and therefore must Antichrist be destroyed. Forbearance is no payment. God's patience is not a sign that he forgetteth to take vengeance, but rather that he waiteth till his own are come out of her, and until her iniquity is filled up. For then he will execute the judgment written, and will remember, as has been said, the Babylonians and all their ways. Fifth cause. Fifthly, Antichrist must be destroyed, because she hath put out of order and confounded the rule and government that God has set up in the world. I say, she has put it out of order and confounded it in all places where she rules, so that it cannot accomplish the design of him that ordained it, to wit, to be a terror to evil works and a praise to them that do well. Wherefore we read that those horns or kings where mystery Babylon sitteth are upon the heads of that beast that carrieth her, which beast is her protector. Magistracy is God's ordinance, appointed for the good of society and for the peace and safety of those that are good. But this Antichrist has, where she rules, put all out of order, and no wonder, for she has bepuddled the word of God. No wonder then, I say, if the foundations of the world be out of course, 'Tis she that hath turned the sword of the magistrate against those that keep God's law. 'Tis she that has made it the ruin of the good and virtuous, and a protection to the vile and base. Wherefore, when the Holy Ghost tells us that the time is coming in which God will count with the bloody-minded for the murders that they have committed, he in a manner doth quite excuse the magistrate, saying, "Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is no end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. But what is the cause of all this slaying, and the reason of this abundance of corpses? Why, it is because of the unsatiable thirst of the bloody city after blood, and because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms, and families through her witchcrafts. But doth this bloody city spill this blood by herself, simply, as she is the adulterated whore? No, this church has found out a trick, that is to say, to quarrel with Christ in his members, and to persuade the powers where she rules to set ensnaring laws to catch them, and to execute the same upon them. Thus, when the synagogue of Satan of old had taken Christ and accused him, they made Pontius Pilate to condemn and hang him. But God has begun to show to some of the kings this wickedness, and has prevailed with them to protest against her. And in the meantime, for those that are yet in the bed of love with her, the Holy Ghost doth, in the text last mentioned, and in Revelation 18:24, much excuse them for the blood that they have shed, and for the injuries that they have done to his people, because they have not done it of their mere inclinations, nor in the prosecution of their office, but through the whoredoms and witchcrafts of this well-favored harlot, who hath with false doctrines, false promises, and causeless curses prevailed on them to do it. And they have done it rather of fear than favor. Some indeed have more doted upon her beauty, and have more thoroughly been devoted to her service, but they also had not that aptness to do so of themselves, but have been forced to it by the power of her enchantments. Therefore, I say, the main guilt shall be laid at her door, for that she in chief has deserved it. Son of man, says God, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. Why? Because their mother, the church, was at that time adulterated, and become a lioness, had lain down with the heathen, and so brought forth young lions, that is, rulers. And she brought up one of her whelps, it became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured men. It learnt. But of who but of its dam, or of the lioness to whom she had put it to learn to do such things? Therefore they are to be lamented and pitied, rather than condemned, and their mother made to bear the blame. Wherefore it follows, she was plucked up in fury, she was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit, her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them, and now she is planted in the wilderness, in the provinces of Babylon, in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that he hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. Sixth cause. Sixthly, Antichrist must be destroyed because of her exceeding covetousness. Religion, such as it is the thing pretended to. But the great things of this world are the things really intended by her in all her seeming self-denials and devotions. And for this covetousness also, it is that this destruction is to fall upon her. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, to his church, that he may set his nest on high. For he could not do the one before he had obtained the other. For then indeed they began to be high when they had so inveigled Constantine, that he bestowed upon them much riches and honor. And then it was cried by an angel, and the cry was heard in the city, Constantinople! Woe, woe, woe! Woe, this day is venom poured into the Church of God, as both my Lord Cobham and Mr. Fox witness in the Book of Acts and Monuments. Nor has any generation since the world began been so insatiably greedy of gain as these poor people have been. They have got kingdoms, they have got, what have they not got? They have got everything but grace and pardon. Did I say before that religion is their pretense? Doth not the whole course of their way declare it to their face? Every one of them, from the least even to the greatest, is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone dealeth falsely. Money, money, as the paddler cries, broken or whole, is the sinews of their religion, and it is for that they set kingdoms, crowns, principalities, places, preferments, sacraments, pardons, prayers, indulgences, liberty, yea, and souls and bodies of men, women, and children to sale. Yea, it is for this that they have invented so many places, offices, names, titles, orders, vows, etc. It is to get money, to rob countries, that they may make their nests on high. And indeed they have done it, to the amazement of all the world. They are clambered up above kings and princes and emperors. They wear the triple crown. They have made kings bow at their feet, and emperors stand barefoot at their gates. They have kicked the crowns of princes from their heads and set them on again with their toes. Thus their covetousness has set them high, even above the suns, moons, and stars of this world. But to what end? That they may be cast down to hell.